In the world of children's literature, few characters have captured the authentic complexity of sibling relationships quite like Beezus and Ramona Quimby. Beverly Cleary's 1955 classic has remained a cultural touchstone for generations, selling over 91 million copies worldwide and being translated into 29 languages. The book's enduring appeal lies in its honest portrayal of childhood frustrations, something both Oprah Winfrey and Kate Middleton have cited as formative reading experiences from their youth. Unlike the sanitized perfection often portrayed in family stories of its era, Beezus and Ramona dared to acknowledge a difficult truth. Sometimes we don't always like the people we're supposed to love. This revolutionary honesty about family dynamics continues to resonate with readers nearly 7 decades later, making it a cornerstone of authentic children's literature.
9-year-old Beatrice Beezus Quimby has a problem that follows her everywhere, her 4-year-old sister, Ramona. This stark contrast between the sisters manifests daily in their personalities, behaviors, and approach to life. While Beezus meticulously embroiders a potholder with careful stitches and measured concentration, Ramona transforms their peaceful living room into a 3-ring circus, careening through the space on her tricycle while simultaneously blowing a harmonica at ear-splitting volume. This cacophony of noise, complete with squeaking wheels and discordant musical notes, perfectly symbolizes how Ramona consistently disrupts the careful order Beezus tries to maintain in her life. The sisters' differences extend beyond their activity choices to their fundamental temperaments. Beezus approaches life with thoughtful consideration, always mindful of rules and social expectations. Ramona, by contrast, barrels through each day with the unrestrained enthusiasm of a whirlwind, leaving chaos and bewildered observers in her wake. Their mother often reminds Beezus that she too was once 4, but Beezus remains convinced she could never have been as disruptive as her younger sister. Perhaps nothing tests Beezus's patience more than Ramona's obsessive attachment to the littlest steam shovel, a picture book she demands Beezus read multiple times daily. The older sister dutifully performs all the machinery noises, the chugging, the grinding, the hydraulic hisses that send Ramona into fits of delight but leave Beezus feeling thoroughly ridiculous. This ritual encapsulates the invisible emotional labor often expected of older siblings, sacrificing dignity and personal preferences for a younger sibling's happiness while suppressing their own frustration. Hoping to escape this literary purgatory, Beezus takes Ramona to the library for a new book. Even this simple outing becomes an exercise in mortification when Ramona insists on wearing paper bunny ears in public, hopping rather than walking, and loudly announcing her presence to everyone they pass. The library visit reveals another layer of Beezus's burden, constant embarrassment by association. When the kindly librarian, Miss Evans, innocently asks about their father's occupation, Ramona's matter-of-fact response that he mows the lawn, technically true, but hardly his career as an accountant, demonstrates how younger siblings can unintentionally undermine an older child's attempts at presenting their family respectably. The library expedition ends with predictable disappointment when Ramona selects another steam shovel book, Big Steve the Steam Shovel. Despite Beezus's barely contained frustration, the family agrees this new selection is marginally better than the previous one, a small victory in the ongoing battle of sibling compromise. But the true crisis emerges when they discover Ramona has defaced every page with purple crayon I's and T's, proudly claiming ownership of the library book. This violation of rules forces Beezus to face consequences for her sister's actions when they must pay $2.50 for damages, a significant sum for a 9-year-old in the 1950s. The incident perfectly captures how older siblings often find themselves entangled in the consequences of their younger siblings' misdeeds, bearing responsibility for situations they didn't create, and struggling with the complex emotions of love, responsibility, and exasperation that define the sibling relationship.
Friday Afternoons crystallize the stark contrasts between the Quimby sisters in ways that extend far beyond their immediate activities. Beezus approaches her art class at Glenwood Park's Recreation Center with characteristic restraint, a mixture of hope and trepidation carefully contained behind her composed exterior. Meanwhile, Ramona races toward the sandpile with unbridled enthusiasm, her entire body vibrating with creative energy. Their divergent approaches to leisure time reflect deeper differences in how they experience and interact with the world around them. The weight of others' expectations and comparisons bears heavily on Beezus's shoulders. Everyone, from their parents to neighbors to teachers, constantly marvels at Ramona's boundless imagination, her ability to transform ordinary moments into extraordinary adventures. This chorus of praise for her younger sister's creativity makes Beezus increasingly aware of what she perceives as her own creative shortcomings. She carries these feelings like a secret burden, one that grows heavier with each passing art class. Beezus's first artistic endeavor haunts her still, that ill-fated painting of a brown dog with its simplistic bow-wow speech balloon. Her teacher's dismissive response, "Surely you can do better than that," echoes in her mind during every art class. The weekly ritual of displaying student artwork becomes an exercise in quiet humiliation, as Beezus's paintings invariably find themselves pushed to the margins, never achieving the coveted central placement that would signal artistic merit. This physical arrangement of artwork becomes a powerful metaphor for Beezus's deeper fears about her place in the world, always on the periphery, never quite center stage. Their weekly walk to the park provides a vivid tableau of their differences. While Beezus walks purposefully, focused on reaching their destination, Ramona creates an entire theatrical production along the way. Her imaginary lizard Ralph, represented by a piece of string she trails behind her, becomes the star of an elaborate ongoing narrative. Every storefront window becomes a stage, every sidewalk crack an opportunity for adventure. Ramona transforms a mundane sidewalk scale into a thrilling carnival ride, and the plastered dog outside the radio store becomes a faithful companion requiring pets and conversation. Through Ramona's eyes, the ordinary world shimmers with magical possibility, while Beezus remains tethered to practical reality. The assignment to paint imaginary animals forces this creative divide into sharp focus. Beezus stares at her blank canvas, paralyzed by the expectation to create something from nothing. Meanwhile, Ramona's constant companion Ralph provides ready inspiration, highlighting how imagination comes as naturally to her as breathing. When Ramona bursts into the art class, tracking sand and chaos in her wake, the resulting disruption pushes Beezus to an unexpected breaking point. Her threat to tickle Ramona represents more than sisterly discipline. It's an assertion of her own space and identity. This confrontation catalyzes something unexpected in Beezus. Returning to her canvas, she discovers her own wellspring of creativity, different from Ramona's spontaneous flights of fancy, but no less valid. Her dragon, breathing pink spun sugar and adorned with lollipops, emerges as a perfect fusion of imagination and her natural inclination toward order and beauty. Miss Robbins's enthusiastic praise, "Here's a girl with real imagination," validates not just her artwork, but her entire approach to creativity. The central placement of her painting symbolizes a broader recognition that imagination manifests in many forms, and Beezus's more measured, thoughtful creativity deserves its own spotlight. Walking home, Beezus begins to understand that being different from Ramona doesn't mean being less than. It means being uniquely herself. The delicate balance of the Quimby household faces another challenge when Henry Huggins arrives with his dog Ripsy to play checkers with Beezus. Their evenly matched competition, Beezus with 48 wins to Henry's 49, reveals a friendship built on mutual respect and friendly rivalry. The careful tracking of their wins suggests the importance both children place on their gaming ritual, treating it as a serious pursuit rather than mere casual entertainment. Meanwhile, Ramona circles them on her tricycle, wearing rabbit ears made from pipe cleaners, creating her own parallel universe of play while Ripsy watches warily from the corner, his tail twitching with each pass of the tricycle. When excluded from their game, Ramona's response is immediate and physical. She crashes her tricycle deliberately into the coffee table, scattering checkers in all directions. This calculated disruption reveals how younger siblings often resort to physical chaos when feeling left out of older children's activities, using destruction as a means of forcing others to acknowledge their presence. The scattered checkers become symbolic of the disorder Ramona brings to Beezus's carefully constructed social world. Mother's intervention sends Ramona to her room for a timeout, resulting in a full-blown tantrum, complete with door slamming and loud protests that only subsides when Mother begins counting to 10, a familiar parenting technique that signals escalating consequences and gives children a chance to regain control. The situation takes an unexpected turn when Ramona returns, displaying an artificial sweetness that immediately puts Beezus on guard. The children soon discover Ribsy locked in the bathroom, whining pitifully behind the door. The revelation that Ramona had imprisoned the dog as revenge for stealing her cookie earlier that week demonstrates her developing but still immature sense of justice and her inability to let go of perceived slights. The locked bathroom door becomes both a literal and metaphorical barrier created by Ramona's actions, requiring adult intervention to resolve, a pattern that repeats throughout the Quimby sisters' relationship. After the neighbor, Mrs. Wisser, suggests using a nail file to unlock the door, Ripsy bounds out joyfully while Ramona remains defiantly sulky in the corner, unwilling to acknowledge her role in the disruption. Henry's decision to leave, despite Beezus's desperate pleas and promises of better behavior, represents another social opportunity lost to Ramona's behavior. This pattern, Beezus cultivating friendships only to have them disrupted by her sister's unpredictable antics, creates a recurring source of resentment that threatens to poison their relationship. In the aftermath, when Beezus refuses to play tiddlywinks with Ramona, she confronts a disturbing realization that shakes her understanding of sisterly love. In that moment, she doesn't like her sister at all. This honest acknowledgement of negative feelings toward a family member creates the book's central emotional conflict, forcing young readers to confront their own complicated feelings about siblings. Beezus's horror at her own feelings reveals the guilt children often experience when they don't match the idealized vision of familial love they believe they should maintain. Her quiet wondering why Ramona couldn't be more like other people's sisters, the ones who play quietly with dolls and don't cause scenes, highlights how children compare their family dynamics to perceived norms, often finding their own wanting. This moment of truth becomes a turning point in Beezus's emotional journey, forcing her to reconcile her role as both loving sister and frustrated guardian.
When Mother assigns Beezus the responsibility of watching Ramona during a grocery trip, the weight of this duty immediately settles on the 9-year-old's shoulders. Determined to be more than just a babysitter, Beezus attempts to engage her sister with an educational lesson about Christopher Columbus, showcasing both her academic interests and her earnest desire to be a positive role model. However, Ramona, absorbed in her self-appointed task of decorating her face with marshmallow powder, demonstrates the stark developmental contrast between the sisters. While Beezus thinks in terms of historical facts and responsible behavior, Ramona lives entirely in the sensory present. The moment of Ramona's disappearance triggers a cascade of emotions in Beezus: panic, guilt, and the crushing weight of failed responsibility. The frantic search through the house, calling Ramona's name with increasing desperation, captures a universal moment of older sibling terror. When they finally discover her in the basement, the scene unfolds like a peculiar art installation, dozens of apples arranged in a precise circle, each bearing a single perfect bite mark. Ramona, sitting contentedly in the middle of her creation, appears more like a satisfied artist than a misbehaving child. Her explanation, "But the first bite tastes best," exemplifies the fascinating logic of early childhood thinking. To Ramona, this isn't destruction, but a perfectly reasonable pursuit of maximum pleasure. Each apple represents a new opportunity for that perfect first bite, crisp, sweet, and unsullied by subsequent lesser bites. This moment brilliantly illustrates how children's seemingly irrational behaviors often follow their own internal logic, completely disconnected from adult concepts of waste, property, or consequence. Aunt Beatrice's measured response introduces a sophisticated approach to childhood misbehavior, Rather than immediate punishment, she suggests withholding the attention Ramona clearly seeks, a strategy that confounds both Ramona and Beezus' expectations of traditional discipline. The family's collaborative solution of turning the bitten apples into applesauce demonstrates practical problem solving while teaching that mistakes can lead to creative solutions. Ramona's increasingly theatrical declarations of her own misbehavior, "I was bad this afternoon," reveal her growing discomfort with the family's unexpected reaction. Each announcement becomes more emphatic, highlighting her confusion at the lack of traditional consequences. The family maintains their united front, steadfastly refusing to provide the dramatic reaction she seeks. This psychological tug-of-war culminates in Ramona's eventual return to normal behavior, approaching Beezus for a story reading, a small but significant olive branch between sisters. This incident establishes a fundamental pattern in their relationship: provocation, frustration, creative resolution, and reconciliation. The episode demonstrates how sibling bonds prove remarkably resilient, weathering storms of conflict through understanding, adaptation, and the enduring power of familial love. Beezus' final softening toward her sister suggests that these challenges, while difficult, ultimately strengthen their connection rather than damage it. The rainy Saturday morning party crisis begins when 9 neighborhood children arrive unexpectedly at the Quimby home, invited secretly by Ramona. Mother's half-finished pin curls and the unprepared house create immediate tension, highlighting how children often fail to understand the preparation adults need for social gatherings. This surprise party becomes a test of both Mother's and Beezus's ability to adapt quickly to Ramona's impulsive actions. Beezus demonstrates remarkable maturity by organizing an improvisational parade through the house. Her leadership in having Howie guide the children through every room, up and down stairs, around the furnace, and through the attic shows her developing problem-solving skills. Meanwhile, her thoughtfulness in settling toddler Willa-Jean with an egg beater reveals her natural caregiving instincts. This crisis allows Beezus to shine in a way everyday life rarely permits. Mother seizes the opportunity to serve the unwanted applesauce from the previous incident, paired with Fig Newtons. Just as the situation seems under control, Ramona sabotages the refreshments by announcing the cookies contain chopped-up worms. This deliberate disruption of her own party reveals Ramona's complex relationship with attention. She wants it enough to create a gathering, but then undermines it when she's not the central focus. Ramona's tantrum when the children refuse to eat, throwing cookies and screaming that it's her party and they should eat the refreshments, demonstrates her limited understanding of social dynamics. She wants the power of hosting, but lacks the emotional maturity to handle the responsibility. Mother's intervention, sending her to her room until she can behave, establishes necessary boundaries while allowing the party to continue. When parents arrive to collect their children, the crisis resolves without lasting damage to the family's social standing. Ramona's tearful explanation that she hadn't asked permission because, "When I ask, you don't let me do things," reveals her developing understanding of adult authority and her attempts to circumvent it. This insight into Ramona's thought process helps both the reader and Beezus understand that Ramona's actions, while disruptive, come from a place of childish logic rather than malice. Mother's admission that she too misbehaved as a child, though more quietly than Ramona, creates a generational connection. The revelation that Mother and Aunt Beatrice were very different children, one a bookworm, one excelling at games, parallels the differences between Beezus and Ramona. This understanding that siblings have always been different helps normalize Beezus' experience. When Mother suggests they'll just have to wait for Ramona to grow up, Beezus' near sympathy for her sister suggests an emerging maturity, recognizing that Ramona's behavior stems from her developmental stage rather than deliberate malice. Mother's admission that she too misbehaved as a child, though more quietly than Ramona, creates a generational connection. The revelation that Mother and Aunt Beatrice were very different children, one a bookworm, one excelling at games, parallels the differences between Beezus and Ramona. This understanding that siblings have always been different helps normalize Beezus' experience. When Mother suggests they'll just have to wait for Ramona to grow up, Beezus's near sympathy for her sister suggests an emerging maturity, recognizing that Ramona's behavior stems from her developmental stage rather than deliberate malice.
Beezus's 10th birthday begins with promise, presents at breakfast, a new dress, and classmates singing happy birthday. This milestone birthday carries special significance as Beezus enters double digits, making the subsequent disappointments even more poignant. When she discovers Mother hasn't finished baking her cake because Ramona dropped all the eggs into the mixer, the day's perfect veneer begins to crack. Reading Hansel and Gretel to distract Ramona reveals Beezus's ongoing attempts to be a good sister despite her frustrations. The strange rubbery smell that replaces the pleasant cake aroma creates immediate concern, and the discovery of Ramona's rubber doll Bendix in the oven represents the ultimate birthday sabotage. Ramona's explanation that she was pretending to be Gretel, pushing the witch into the oven, shows how children's play can have destructive consequences when imagination overrides judgment. Beezus's tears over her ruined second birthday cake express accumulated disappointment rather than just this single incident. The moment forces her to confront her terrible secret. There are times she doesn't love her sister. This admission feels like a moral failure to Beezus, who believes sisters should always love each other. Mother's call to Aunt Beatrice for a bakery cake represents adult intervention to salvage the celebration, while sending Ramona to her room establishes consequences for her actions. Dinner continues the pattern of disruption when Ramona interrupts Beezus's stories and puts jelly on her mashed potatoes. These smaller provocations accumulate until Ramona is again sent to her room, allowing Beezus a rare moment of being the family's central focus on her special day. When Beezus finally confesses her terrible secret about not always loving Ramona, Mother and Aunt Beatrice's laughter provides unexpected relief. Their shared stories of childhood conflicts, Aunt Beatrice dyeing Mother's doll's hair with shoe polish and writing her name on every page of Mother's new autograph album, normalize sibling tension. Learning that her mother and aunt had similar feelings helps Beezus understand that her emotions are natural rather than shameful. The story of Aunt Beatrice writing her name in countless ways throughout Mother's album particularly resonates with Beezus, creating a parallel to Ramona's defacement of the library book. Discovering that Mother and Aunt Beatrice now laugh about their childhood fights offers Beezus hope that her relationship with Ramona might similarly evolve over time. This generational perspective helps her see current conflicts as temporary rather than permanent. Beezus's invitation for Ramona to return for cake represents a gesture of reconciliation. When Mother brings in the beautiful pink cake with 10 candles and everyone sings, the celebration becomes complete. Beezus's wish that all her birthdays would be as wonderful as this one turned out to be reveals her growing maturity, recognizing that perfection isn't necessary for happiness. Even when Ramona sings happy birthday too loudly afterward, Beezus finds she doesn't mind her sister's exuberance. This acceptance marks significant emotional growth, suggesting that understanding the normalcy of mixed feelings has freed Beezus to appreciate Ramona more fully, even with her imperfections. Beverly Cleary's portrayal of the Quimby sisters continues to resonate because it acknowledges the complicated reality of sibling relationships. Born in McMinnville, Oregon, and raised on a farm before moving to Portland, Cleary drew from her observations as a children's librarian when she began writing. Her first book, Henry Huggins, emerged after a young boy asked, "Where are the books about kids like us?" This commitment to authentic childhood experiences permeates Beezus and Ramona, making it revolutionary in its honesty about family dynamics. The book's enduring appeal lies in its refusal to idealize childhood. Instead, it validates the complex emotions children experience but often feel guilty about expressing. Beezus's journey toward accepting that sisters don't always love each other every minute mirrors the emotional development many children navigate. By normalizing these feelings, Cleary provides readers with permission to acknowledge their own complicated emotions about family members.
The intergenerational perspective offered through Mother and Aunt Beatrice's childhood stories creates a broader context for understanding sibling relationships. Their evolution from quarreling children to loving adult sisters suggests that current conflicts don't determine future relationships. This hopeful perspective has comforted generations of readers struggling with their own sibling dynamics. Cleary's distinguished career, including the American Library Association's Laura Ingalls Wilder Award and numerous Newbery honors, testifies to her profound impact on children's literature. Her characters, Henry Huggins, Ellen Tebbets, Otis Spofford, the Quimby sisters, Ribsy, Sox, and Ralph S. Mouse, have become beloved companions to countless children navigating their own growing pains. Beezus and Ramona launched what would become an 8-book series following Ramona from preschool through 4th grade. This longitudinal approach allowed readers to witness both sisters' development over time, reinforcing the book's central message that difficult phases eventually pass. The series's continued popularity across generations speaks to its universal truths about family relationships and childhood's emotional landscape. In creating characters that feel genuinely human rather than idealized, Cleary established a new standard for authenticity in children's literature. Her work acknowledges that growing up involves frustration, embarrassment, and occasional dislike of even those closest to us, and that these feelings don't diminish the underlying bonds of family love. This honest portrayal continues to provide comfort and validation to readers of all ages, ensuring Beverly Cleary's place as one of America's most beloved and influential authors for children.